Dr. Martin Luther King, the day before he was assassinated, preached on this very text in what has become known as the famous "I've been to the mountaintop" speech. His explanation for the refusal of the priest and the Levite to come to the aid of the man in the ditch is probably the best there is out there. Dr. King's words as he preached them. "I'm going to tell you what my imagination tells me. It's possible that those men were afraid. You see, the Jericho Road is indeed a dangerous road. I remember when Mrs. King and I were first in Jerusalem. We rented a car and drove from Jerusalem down to Jericho. And as soon as we got on that road, I said to my wife, 'I can see why Jesus used this as a setting for his parable. It's a winding, meandering road. It's really conducive for ambushing.' So in the days of Jesus, it came to be known as the Bloody Pass. And you know, it's possible the priest and the Levite looked over that man on the ground and wondered if the robbers were still around. Or it's possible that they felt that the man on the ground was merely faking, and he was acting like he had been robbed and hurt in order to have them come over, lure them there for a quick and easy seizure. And so the first question that the priest asked, the first question that the Levite asked, was, 'If I stop to help this man, what will happen to me?' This question, 'What will happen to me?' is a question that shapes much of what we do as a people. We often wonder when something occurs or something changes in the world around us, how will this affect our lives, directly or indirectly? We can see this from the smallest of inconveniences, those orange cones we find in the road, to the greatest of tragedies, the death of a loved one. What will happen to me? Sometimes this question seems to carry a hidden meaning of fear or indifference. As we heard from Dr. King, it is quite possible that the priest and the Levite were operating out of a sense of fear, a fear for their own lot in life, their own safety on that dangerous road. Too often, we find ourselves seeking excuses for the priest and the Levite. We apply purity laws and religious obligations to the two who passed by. Perhaps it is out of shock that we seek to repair the image of these religious figures. Obviously, these two were deeply aware of the Torah and its call for love of neighbor. They would have known the words of the Mishnah, the oral Torah, which calls for the first Jew to pass by a corpse to perform the burial without exception, thus poking holes in the can't touch a corpse argument. They would know deep in their heart that the highest mitzvah or commandment is the burial of the dead, for it is one of the few acts that cannot be repaid by the person who benefits from it. This mandate is taken so seriously that even to this day, we know and have heard that the Jews stood vigil at ground zero until every single corpse was removed. Deep down, it seems like we want to exonerate these two. I think it's because we feel like they feel a whole heck of a lot like us. They know God's commandments. They know the will of God. They are learned in the scriptures, and yet, when push comes to shove, they freeze. Now, I know this is not the case always for us, but it is certainly a reality when we look at the whole of Christianity. You don't have to look any further than the headlines of the newspapers to realize what an absolutely horrid job we are doing with God's commandment. So what are we to do? Now, I am not downplaying the dangers of the world. There certainly are bandits on the road of life. Nor am I downplaying that when someone puts another's needs above and ahead of their own, as the Samaritan did, there is a certain level of sacrifice. Whether it's time or effort or money, you name it, something will be given to satiate the need of the one in the ditch. But what Jesus is pointing us to in this parable is he's asking us to change our question. When we are tempted to ask, "Oh, what will happen to me?" Jesus invites us to reverse the question. When we encounter the proverbial person in the ditch, our question should be instead, if I do not stop to help, what will happen to them? The care or concern about yourself will still be there, but a greater concern and care for the one in need will supersede those of the self. It is a way of living the gospel that truly embraces Jesus' call to come and die, to die to ourselves, not allowing the fear of our own self-preservation to overcome God's foundational command to love our neighbor. Ambushes and bandits be damned. It is the very same attitude and mentality that God had and continues to have with us. Christ did not sit on the outskirts of Jerusalem and ask, "If I stop to help them, what will happen to me?" Instead, he set his face to the holy city and the fate that awaited him there. For in our relationship with God, we are not the Samaritan, nor the priest, nor the Levite. No, in our relationship to God, we are the one down in the ditch. We are the one beaten to within an inch of life, passable even for a corpse, one who is incapable of helping themselves in any fashion, completely and utterly at the mercy of passerbys. In the good news of Jesus Christ, God is the one who comes to us, the one who draws near to us, the one who brings us from death into life. God, like the Samaritan, though, comes as the enemy. As St. Paul pointed out in his letter to the Romans, he described us as enemies of God. We who chose our own way in our rejection of God's will. We who became the enemy of God in sin. We, the enemy who ran and continue to run to all sorts of gods of every shape, name, and size, and form. Just as the man in the ditch is served and saved by the enemy that is the Samaritan, we who made God our enemy, we who were dead in sin, are served and saved by the God of all creation. Is this not the good news of Jesus Christ? That humanity, in its state of complete helplessness, without a hope in the world, not a thread of clothing, and penniless, left to be devoured by the wickedness of the world, sees and experiences the enemy cure, bless, and redeem us through his life, death, and resurrection. Like the Samaritan of this parable, Jesus goes beyond the merciful act of our healing and redemption. And just as the Samaritan's purse provided for the continued care of the beaten man, the gifting of the Holy Spirit provides for our continual care and encouragement as we strive to live for the neighbor and to love God truly with all our heart, our minds, and soul. So may we, my friends, with the encouragement of the Spirit and nourished for service by Jesus' own body and blood, live into the reversal of the question of the priest and the Levite, finding the response of the Samaritan upon our lips and in our minds as we ask, if I do not stop to help this one, what will happen to them? All the while remembering what God has done for us. We who dwelt in the ditch on that road to Jericho. Amen.